know, brothers and sisters, that need to ask your forgiveness as I approach this text. It seems in God's providence this week has been more burdensome to me than otherwise thought as I went into it. But because of that, I wasn't able to bring my work on Philemon to fruition. So I don't have a well-articulated exposition of this passage before me right now. But I sat here reflecting. I did bring another sermon with me to preach, one that has been preached before. But I sat here reflecting on God's providence and Him bringing me to this position. And I thought to myself, well, God knew what He was doing. He brought me to what I was doing. So if you would bear with me and pray for me as I open Philemon to you, I'm going to attempt to walk through this with what I have in my mind. So please open in your Bibles to the book of Philemon. And we'll be reading the whole book as it's a short one. It's one of the shortest of the Pauline epistles. Hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word, and may He do His work. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, and to the beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I'm sending him back. You, therefore, receive him. That is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. O Lord God in heaven, we thank you for your holy word. Lord God, we pray that even just this reading of your word would be used by your Holy Spirit, that you would apply it to our hearts, that you would convict our hearts by your word read going forth in this manner, that it would not go forth in vain, that it would accomplish the work that you have intended it to do, even far apart from my feeble efforts of preaching it. Lord God, minister to us by your Spirit. We pray you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of, or the letter of Philemon is a very personal letter written by the Apostle Paul to a fellow laborer he mentions who is in Colossae. Paul came across Philemon on one of his missionary journeys whenever he was over in the Lycus Valley, which is where Colossae and the church in Galatia and Ephesus were found. He was over there ministering, and somehow or another he came across Philemon in an unconverted state, and through the power of the Holy Spirit and the preaching of the gospel, Philemon came to faith. Philemon, being a wealthy man, owned perhaps many slaves, Onesimus being one of them, and Philemon was joined to the church in Colossae and became a prominent member serving in the church. And so his whole household would be included in this church as well. And he was laboring along for the gospel, for Christ's sake, in the church of Colossae. And Paul writes this letter to Philemon while he's imprisoned in Rome because of a report that he receives from Epaphras about how things are going in Colossae, but also how a personal incident occurred in Philemon's life. Apparently, one of Philemon's slaves, Onesimus, had fled. Onesimus was not a believer at the time of his fleeing, as we find out later in this letter, as Paul points out that perhaps Philemon fled for the very purpose of him coming into contact with me and becoming a believer, that he can come back to you as not just a slave, but as a brother in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see God's sovereignty worked in all of this. But Paul writes to Philemon to receive Onesimus back, to forgive him, because Onesimus, or Philemon, has been wronged in a very serious way. He's been sinned against. He's been cheated out of service. Slavery in the Roman Empire was a legitimate enterprise, according to the government. Whatever the scriptures may take on the matter, the Romans believed it could be done. It was a position and station in the home. And so Philemon was expecting Onesimus to render service in his home. And slavery in those days was a range of things. It could have been very menial tasks. Slaves could be abused. They could be burdened very heavily. But also they could be almost on par as a butler or a household servant who would be welcomed in the home, fed and cared for, and be a beloved brother, really, in the home. So it was a wide range of slavery in the Roman Empire. But whatever the case may be, Onesimus owed Philemon his duty, his life. But Onesimus flees Philemon, forsaking his job. He wrongs Philemon, perhaps even steals from Philemon, taking money from him so he can make a long journey. Onesimus runs into Paul in Rome. This is about 1,000 miles away from Colossae. So Onesimus needed a significant amount of money to get there, so most likely he did steal from Philemon. But Paul writes to Philemon, acknowledging the fact that he has been wronged significantly. But Paul wants to see the gospel working in Philemon's heart. And that's what I want to focus on this morning as we consider this passage. I know, because you live in a fallen world and interact with fallen people, that you have perhaps been wronged in some significant ways by unbelievers and believers alike. And Paul instructs a Christian how to respond to those who have wronged them. And in this way, Paul instructs us on how to respond to those who have wronged us. How does the gospel work in our lives whenever we are wronged, whenever we are abused, whenever we are hurt by other people? And that's what I want to focus on this morning as we look at this letter to Philemon. One of the first things I want to identify here is what Paul identifies, is the fact that we need to remember the work of the gospel and God's grace in our own lives and hearts. So Paul's writing this letter to Philemon, and one of the first things he identifies before he launches into a discussion about Onesimus, the purpose of the letter, is to remind Philemon who he is by the grace of God. Look at how Paul begins in verse 4. "I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus Christ and towards all the saints. Now, this is a fruit of the Spirit affected by the grace of God in Philemon's heart. Paul highlights this Christian virtue in the life of Philemon. Then he goes on, verse 6, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you by Christ Jesus. So there's much to commend Philemon about in his life. A work of grace has happened in his life. He is living out his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's being very effective in the church and in the work of the church and for the sake of the gospel. Verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. And so Philemon is a great asset to the church. He's a comforter in the church. His love is evident to all, and people have been refreshed and encouraged by his love and care. Paul is reminding Philemon who he is. He is not just some man who has been sinned against. He's not just some regular human being, so to speak, who has been wronged. But Philemon is a man who has received the grace of God through the gospel. And as a result of that, he should respond differently. He needs to remember who he is and live out who he is by the grace of God. One aside I want to acknowledge here is the fact that Paul is commending Philemon before he goes in to press him a little bit about Onesimus. I think this is a wise strategic move on Paul's part, and we would do good to remember this whenever we are engaging other people who have perhaps wronged us, or we need to talk to somebody about something they may have done wrong, or an expectation we have for somebody else. It's not a good procedure to walk up and say, hey, listen, buddy, you need to get your act straight because you've done something wrong, or I need to talk to you because you need to be prepared about a certain situation that's going to arise, and you need to do this, that, and the other thing in order to do it properly or do it right. Paul doesn't immediately dive in and start critiquing him or telling him how he's supposed to act, but he points out his virtues. He speaks good first. He encourages the man first. We would do good to remember that when we engage one another. Sometimes there are difficult things we need to say to one another, especially husbands and wives, or bosses and employees, or just friends. Whenever we interact with one another, let's begin with the good. Let's think about the virtues of our husbands, the virtues of our wives, the virtues of our children even, whenever we discipline them. It's really easy to see them doing something wrong and immediately condemn them and correct them. But let's highlight maybe what they were trying to do, maybe a good quality we see in them first, what God is doing in their lives, lest they become discouraged. Let's highlight the good before we move into critique. But it's a quick aside there. But also, this highlighting of Philemon's virtues, it should impel him to continue living a virtuous life for the sake of the gospel. It should push him and motivate him to continue walking and forgiving. As Danielle and I were at the emergency room or at the hospital recently because of the situation that had arisen with preterm labor, possibly, we were talking with the doctor who was there, who was also her doctor at the OB and GYN associates, and he was commenting on how he really appreciates our demeanor whenever we come in here. And I don't say this to puff ourselves up, but we go in there and we try to be as pleasant as possible. We know that they deal with people who can be very difficult sometimes, people who can complain. So we try to be as delightful as possible, even though we're experiencing a difficult circumstance, and we were so at the hospital as well. And he was making a comment about us coming in next week and how he was frustrated that our appointments to have our sonogram and then the doctor's appointment weren't back-to-back, but they were spread throughout the week. He said, it's such a shame that they couldn't get them closer together for you to make it easier for you. He said, you guys are like the 1% who never complain, and now we have to put you in a position where you would probably complain. But since you guys are that 1% who never complained, we're really encouraged that you probably won't complain. Okay, well, what are you trying to say there, buddy? We thank you that you're encouraging us in our efforts to try to be nice, to try to not complain. But you see what he was doing. He was trying to say, we appreciate the fact you don't complain, and since you are those people who don't complain, please don't complain. It's sort of what Paul's doing here about the virtues of grace in Philemon's life. Philemon, you are a man who has faith, who has love. Your life refreshes the brethren. It's encouraging to the members of the church. He's about to tell him some difficult news. He wants him to receive this man back who's hurt him dearly, and he wants him to forgive. He wants him to continue exercising those graces. Philemon, I know you're a man of grace. I'm expecting you to exercise that grace. What will the gospel do in Philemon's life? Will it have an effect? Will it have an effect in your life? God has worked in your life grace. Will it continue to work in your life? Continue exercising those graces. Well, Paul moves on then to the main issue of his letter about Onesimus. And he begins to speak to Onesimus about Philemon, about forgiving Onesimus. And he could command Philemon to forgive the one who has wronged him. He is an apostle of Jesus Christ. He speaks with the authority of God. And so he could command Philemon, forgive Onesimus. This is your duty, your Christian duty. You've been forgiven, forgive others. But what does Paul do? He appeals to love. That's exactly what we see in verse 8. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to me. I'm sending him back. Receive him. This is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, but that you might behalf minister to me in my chains for the gospel. That with your consent, I wanted to do nothing. I didn't want to compulse you, but I wanted it to be voluntary. And so Paul is seeking Philemon to forgive Onesimus. But he doesn't do it forcefully. He wants to appeal once again to the work of grace in Philemon's heart. He wants to appeal to love for the sake of love for Paul, for the sake of love for Onesimus, but ultimately for the love of Jesus Christ. Forgive. This is a call to Philemon, but it's a call to you and me as well. When we're hurt by other people, we want to respond in anger. We want to respond in maybe seeking revenge. We want to maybe get back what was taken from us. We could be commanded to forgive, but we should remember love and the love that's been shown to us in Jesus Christ. Jesus showed us great love when we had wronged him. The greater wrong, as it may be. But Jesus shows us love, and we should respond in love towards him. You see, Philemon could have not forgiven Onesimus. He had every right, according to Roman law, to punish Onesimus when he received him back. He could have brought him back into his presence, and he could have abused him physically. He could have beaten him as a piece of property for running off and running away. He could have fined him and made him work longer. Perhaps he had a short term of indentured servanthood to Philemon, but he could have fined him and extended that stay with him. But more seriously, he could have branded him with a big F on his forehead, meaning fugitive. And from that point forward in his life, he would be forever shamed by his sin against Philemon. And so would Philemon abuse him? Would Philemon shame him? Paul says, no, for the sake of love, brother, receive him. For the sake of love, forgive him. Don't shame him. Don't abuse him. Don't get back at him or hurt him, but receive him for love's sake. And that's something I think we need to remember as well whenever we are hurt and people come and seek our forgiveness. We want to get them back. We want to get even. And sometimes we think when we forgive, it's just going away, that justice isn't being paid. And perhaps Philemon was feeling very much like that. I was hurt by this man. I lost labor from this man, and I want to make him pay. I want to shame him. And perhaps you might feel like that too when somebody hurts you. Maybe somebody said something mean to you or has hurt you in some way. And what do you want to do sometimes? You want to go around and tell everyone else what this person did to you because you want to shame them. You want to make them feel bad like they made you feel. That's not what Paul is calling Philemon to do. That's not what God is calling us to do. But for love's sake, love covers over a multitude of sins, does it not? That's what we are called to do in this passage as well, to forgive for love's sake. But we also see here that we also are to bear the burden of the wrong. Bear the burden of the wrong. Verse 17, if then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention that you owe me even your own self besides. Paul recognizes that Onesimus probably does owe Philemon quite a bit of time, quite a bit of money. Like I said, Onesimus probably stole quite a bit to get to Rome, 1,000 miles away. It wasn't a cheap journey. And so he stole Philemon's time. He stole his money. The time is money in those days, and just like it is today. And so Philemon was at a loss. And so Philemon probably would have wanted to get that back somehow, to make Onesimus pay it back. And that is justice, right? You have taken something from me. It is right for you to pay back. But what does Paul do? Paul says, Philemon, if Onesimus has wronged you in any way, I'll pay his debt. I'll pay it for him. I don't want him to have to pay it back. I'm going to show him mercy. And I really think that Paul would have paid the debt. But I also kind of think that by Paul saying that, he was expecting Philemon to say, oh, no. No, Paul, I wouldn't want you to pay. By no means. I'll certainly pay this debt. And almost a little more motivation for Philemon to step up and say, you know what, this is the right thing to do. If Paul is willing to do this, if he's willing to show mercy, this is a motivation for me as well to show mercy. And you can imagine being in a situation where somebody has wronged you and you're perhaps about to make them pay you back, and then someone you really respect comes up and says, oh no, I'll cover their debt for them. And you would feel terrible to allow that person to cover the debt. You would want to pay the debt and just leave it be. And Philemon was a prominent man of the church. The church would see this and see his response. So Paul wants to motivate him to mercy. Paul is following Jesus Christ's example. We owed a great debt to God for our sin against him. And though God could have required justice against us, he pays our debt. Jesus Christ paid our debt. If we owe God anything, Jesus says, I will pay. And he did. Paul wants Philemon to respond in kind. And Paul wants us to respond in kind as well. Whenever we are wronged, we forgive. And whenever we are wronged, we don't require that burden to be placed on them. But we bear the burden of the wrong as well. Sometimes it's a difficult thing. Sometimes it's bearing the shame of the wrong ourselves. Sometimes it's bearing the financial burden ourselves. We could seek justice, but mercy triumphs over judgment, as James says. Let us pursue mercy and bear the burden of the wrong. One more motivation that Paul gives Philemon to respond in this way, to have the gospel work out in his life and forgiving Onesimus, is the fact that Paul says, I'm going to come and I'm going to see how things go. Verse 20, yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. And so Paul is writing this letter ahead of him. He's sending Onesimus ahead of him, and he expects Onesimus to be received by Philemon. He expects Philemon to embrace Onesimus and grant the forgiveness that Paul is requesting and that Onesimus is requesting. He expects Philemon to pay any burden that Onesimus may owe to him. And Paul says, because I'm coming, I'm going to see what it is you have done. I'm going to see whether the gospel has worked out in your life. And I don't think this is a threat, really. I think this is an opportunity for Paul to come and commend Philemon all the more for allowing the gospel to work, take root, and play out in his life. This is an opportunity for Philemon to show the gospel for the sake of the church. And Paul could come and say, look, see the gospel working in this man? You too live likewise. And I think this is instructive for us as well, because Paul was speaking on behalf of God to Philemon. And this idea of Paul coming to see Philemon, and Philemon will have to give this account to Paul, is kind of a parallel to the reality that we must forgive one another, and Jesus Christ is coming again, and we must give account to him for our deeds and our actions that we do on this life. Jesus is coming. We must give an account. So let us live such lives that are consistent with the gospel, that when he comes, we have no reason to be ashamed, but we have every reason to be thankful that his grace has worked in our hearts, that he can come and he can commend the Spirit of God for the work of forgiveness and mercy that has been seen in our hearts and in our lives. Paul closes out his greetings and gives his farewell to Philemon, gives him blessings in the Lord with the greatest confidence that the gospel will have its work in Philemon's heart for the good of Philemon, for the good of Onesimus, for the good of the church, and ultimately for the glory of God. And so I pray the same thing would be true among you and me, that as we consider how we have been wronged or hurt by other people, that we wouldn't want to respond viscerally. We wouldn't want to respond as the world would have us respond. Make them pay, get them back, shame them, get what is ours, do what is right in our own hearts, in our own minds. But that the gospel would have its work in our lives. Remember who you are in Jesus Christ. You are one who has been forgiven. You are one who has been loved. The grace of God is producing its fruit in you, so live consistently with that. Live out the gospel in your lives by forgiving one another. Don't shame, don't require it of the other person, but be willing to bear that burden of the other person. But also remember that Jesus is coming, and you wish to give him glory when he does come and show the work of the gospel in your life. May it be so among us. May the Spirit move us to this end, that Jesus will be glorified and we will reap the benefits of love toward one another. May God add his blessing to the reading and the preaching of his word for his glory. In Jesus' name, amen.